Welcome to the Nonfiction Writers, podcasting in a great way from all three sides of the ball. I'm Ryan Aber, joined as always by Joe Masato. And Joe, a little bit unique setup tonight because it is, let's see, where's my clock? 12:15 a.m. on Sunday morning.
And we're in an elevator.
We're in an elevator to start. We're about to be freezing our tails off because we're gonna pod and walk here.
The walking pod.
Yeah, so we got to make sure we're walking at about the same pace here. Otherwise, we're gonna be in trouble. Oh, and our normal gate's closed. So, but we're here, Joe, after Oklahoma beat Kansas 55-40. And, yes, Oklahoma won. But all anybody wants to talk about is the negative for Oklahoma, which is what happened on this defense tonight. Puka Williams just ran wild on the Sooners, and Oklahoma's defense showed that as much as Lincoln Riley has talked about the fact that he believes that this defense can get better, it's just not happening yet, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's not happening yet. I can't imagine there's too many OU fans who it counts as a win in the books, but I don't think there's too many OU fans who are probably pleased with that performance. And I think we saw, maybe for the first time, especially considering how he sort of responded to the defensive criticism on Monday, a more frustrated Lincoln Riley in his postgame press conference Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's not that Lincoln Riley was devoid of hope, because he talked about that he was still hopeful that these things could get fixed, that the tackling could get fixed, but the tone of it was much, much different than what we saw on Monday when he was questioned about these defensive struggles.
Yeah, I think it was a little frustrated by it, probably a lot frustrated by it. I think he kept it, you know, he didn't go berserk or anything, or he didn't lose his cool, but you could tell that the questions are sort of wearing on him. But from our perspective, I mean, those questions can't stop considering how this defense is playing. I mean, 40 points over 500 yards against Kansas. I mean, just it's a weird spot they're in. With as elite as the offense is, the defense is equally, you know, just in the other direction. I mean, I don't even know how to phrase it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Although, you know, I think, Joe, you said that the questions were wearing on Lincoln, and they are to some extent. But, you know, I actually thought he handled today pretty well, all things considered. Just, I thought, struck the right tone after the game, that he's not, I don't know, Monday it seemed like, yes, although he acknowledged that the problems that that side of the ball had was sort of downplaying them to some degree, but there was no downplaying those issues tonight.
No, and, you know, this might be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but he's been asked kind of repeatedly about the playoff and whether or not the defense might bring down those hopes. I'm kind of the thinking, I mean, OU is not in the way things are currently constructed. They need help, definitely, to get in. But if certain things follow their way, I don't think, like, OU is going to be held out just because their defense isn't any good, you know. I think it's going to be a resume thing. I think we're kind of looking too much into how much is the committee considering, you know, OU's defense or anything like that. I think those questions are wearing on him a little bit. But as far as the improvements, you know, I think today he gave us an honest look that basically I don't know is an acceptable answer, and just that, you know, it's a huge week for him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And when you talk about the playoff, Joe, I think the questions about the defense are certainly valid, especially given what Kirby Hokut said last year about the defense when he was a committee chair. And Rob Mullins has been a little bit different with the tone that he struck. But Oklahoma's problem right now as it relates to the playoff isn't the defense.
Right, right.
It's the narrowing path to make it,
yeah,
given what's in front of them. I mean, Alabama has two games remaining against Auburn and against Georgia in the SEC title game. Probably if they lose one of those games, they're still in, given what they've done to this point. Clemson has a little bit different road because their schedule isn't as strong, probably to this point. But they'll play. Did Pitt clinch a spot in that title game?
I didn't see that today.
I think that it's probably going to be Pitt in the ACC title game, which isn't going to do them much favors in that regard. But it's also, at the same time, hard to see Clemson losing to Pitt or South Carolina next week.
Right.
Is who they've got, right? Notre Dame certainly doesn't look like they're going to lose to USC.
Yeah, they got a play-in game, basically. Win and they're in.
Yeah. And USC lost to UCLA today.
Right.
UCLA team that has been pretty bad. I think, what was today, their fourth win of the year?
Third or fourth.
So, I mean, that's three of the spots right there. And then the Big Ten, Michigan is in a win two in their end. They've got to beat Ohio State next week. And then they'll play Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. You know, you'd figure Northwestern's been really good for a while, but Michigan already beat them this year. They should be in pretty good position there. But even if they don't, even if Ohio State happens to upset them,
right,
then you've got the OU versus Ohio State question to answer, which then you do get into some of those defensive issues. I know Ohio State's had some of their plenty of issues on their own, almost lost today to Maryland. But like I said, that road is pretty narrow at this point. And to get to that point where it's a valid discussion, Oklahoma has to go on the road and beat West Virginia and Morgantown, and then they've got to win a Big 12 title game, likely against Kansas. Or Texas, excuse me. Kansas is not going to be the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, if Texas beats Kansas. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of what ifs before that discussion even gets going, especially with next week in Morgantown. I mean, West Virginia's coming off, you know, in their minds, what's a disappointing loss at Oklahoma State and what was just a crazy game that led up to the one we were watching. But I don't really think that would have much effect on how OUS Virginia is going to go next Friday. It's just going to be a game where the over-under should be about 120 and then see who punts first, because right now it looks like two defenses that are in disarray. It looks like two offenses who have Heisman-level quarterbacks. And, I mean, it should be a blast to watch.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch. if you're a part of it, it'll probably give you a heartburn.
Right.
I can only imagine what Mike Stoops would have done to a coaching booth in a game like that next week. Although
we would have heard some stomping or, I don't know, screaming or something surely today.
Yeah. But, Joe, let's touch on the offense a little bit as we make the final turn here to the Jenkins Avenue parking garage. Kyler Murray, again, really good tonight. Wasn't his best game. Threw for, what was it, 272 yards, I think, and a couple touchdowns. One to Carson Meyer, one to Grant Calcaterra. Ran for 99 yards and three touchdowns, including a 75-yard touchdown run. I thought probably the most impressive of his runs, though, was the 11-yard run that really started OU feeling like they were going to win this game for sure.
Right.
Now, the fourth quarter got hairy, but it was just answer. Kansas never got to a one-score game at that point, but just – seemingly another night where Kyler Murray showed that he's got to be right there in the mix with Tua Tagovailoa for the Heisman Trophy, depending on, you know, what your criteria is. But if value is a criteria, and I wrote about this in the Oklahoman, it's hard to discount Kyler Murray right now.
It sure is. I mean, that's value-wise, he means more to OU than Tua means to Alabama. I think one other way, in Tua's defense, I think you could definitely argue that he's playing against better defenses week in and week out than Kyler has. But what Kyler's done and what he did tonight, especially...
Although I think the numbers aren't quite as clear on that as maybe you would think.
Maybe not.
Because I don't disagree that overall that's probably right, but Alabama, I know, has played more really low-tier defenses than Oklahoma has.
Yeah, but, you know, however you want to dissect the numbers, the passing stats at the end of the day, quarterback rating, completion percentage, Kyler's going to get 20 yards. He's played a lot more than Tua has. Tua's barely played in the fourth quarter. But rushing stats and what Kyler did tonight, it's not even close. especially with the touchdowns. And like you said, value to the team. I think Kyler, this was just another example of no matter what the defense does, I mean, especially this game because it was Kansas, but just having Kyler in there, you never got the sense that OU wouldn't score if they needed to score.
That's true. Although sometimes you could see the pressure sort of, I don't know if I say get to Kyler Murray in this Oklahoma offense, but the fact is, with the way their defense is, they pretty much got a score on every drive.
Yeah, no room for error.
And they had the two turnovers, one there early in the first quarter when Kennedy Brooks fumbled inside the 10 as it looks like Oklahoma's about to go up by a touchdown to start the game. And Kansas immediately drives down, what was it, 96 yards, 94 yeah. yards, something like that, to score their first touchdown. And then early in the third quarter when Oklahoma gets the ball and you feel like they really need to go out and score there to get some separation. And Kyler Murray sort of floats one out and gets intercepted. And then, of course, Kansas goes right down and scores.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, besides his offensive line, one guy that I read about after the game, I mean, I think Kennedy Brooks was probably Kyler's best friend tonight because with as much pressure as he had, Kennedy Brooks also had equal amount of pressure, maybe even more pressure, considering if he goes down, if he doesn't play well, there's no one behind him. TJ Pledger apparently wasn't available. Obviously, you know, Marcellus Sutton and Ronnie Anderson have long been unavailable, and that running back room, if you look at it, what it was at the beginning of the season to now, it's just been decimated.
Yeah, Kennedy Brooks seems to be the lone survivor. In that
he's just
group.
Alone in the meetings. They're handing out the game plans. It's just Kennedy Brooks.
You know, at the end of the game, Oklahoma actually goes with their second unit, which I thought was, I don't know, curious is the right word, but was a little surprised there that they did that, considering they had stuck with Kyler Murray yeah. on the first team for a while. They did end up getting some of the seniors in. Drew Samia came out for one more play. They used Alex Dalton, who mm-hmm. suffered a season-ending injury a couple weeks ago, came out just for the last kneel-down play. I thought that was pretty cool, alongside Ben Powers as well. But, you know, Oklahoma had to use Jeremiah Hall there as a tailback.
Yeah, he got four carries. Yeah, I mean, he's the only – I think that's the answer to the question of, on a day like today, who's the next guy? And it's Jeremiah Hall, which is crazy to think of.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost by default, yeah. given – you know, they really don't have a walk-on running back. Their other walk-on fullback, Joe Castiglione Jr., who actually might be that guy, is out for the year. So it's just a weird, weird sequence where you get a lot of injuries at the same spot.
Yeah, I think, you know, we never hear much injury-wise. I would, without having knowledge of the situation, I'd be surprised if Trey Sermon didn't play next weekend. Talked to Kennedy Brooks after the game, and he seemed to indicate that it's not super serious, and he said with the way that Trey Sermon recovers, it'd be a surprise. We've seen it kind of over and over and over again that Trey Sermon seems to have this superhuman ability to recover after seemingly bad injuries.
But Oklahoma needs him and anybody else that they can get back on that offensive side healthy for sure. But we're going to wrap it up for right now as we're
we've made it.
We've made it to our vehicles. Sustained through the blistering winds, which also gave OU some problems tonight.
Yeah.
We'll be back early in the week to talk about Oklahoma West Virginia a little bit and set up what is a monster game next week in Morgantown with a Big 12 title game berth on the line. But thank you so much for joining us. As always, you can check out our work every day at newsok.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.